You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right. Yeah.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. All right, Hans and I are making a concerted effort because we see how things are brewing, and it would not surprise any of us if we see hockey, NHL hockey, here in Salt Lake City here in the very near future. So to help us out a little bit, he'll be joining us a lot throughout the next couple months. Jay Stevens hosts the Utah Puck Report on KSLSports.com. Great podcast, great insight. I've been listening now, and Jay's kind enough to join us now. How are you, sir?
What's up, Jay?
I'm doing great. It's good to be around. I love when hockey gets brought up so I can, you know, pop on the air with you guys.
Well, you're going to be a fixture on this show, man, whether you like it or not, so get ready. But kind of give us
your... I love it, man. I love it.
Give us your background. You were quite the player back in the day, right?
I was available all the time. I think that was my biggest attribute. Yeah, I grew up here. I got to play around, played in college. I ended up playing in North Dakota Junior College, and I played at Weber State. I've been the backup goalie for the Utah Grizzlies for 26 years, like the third goalie. It's called an E-Bug. So they'll bring me in when one of their guys gets pulled up to their parent club, and I'll practice with them or sit the bench, and then famously got put in a game at 43 years old. So, yeah, I've been around a little bit.
Well, it's exciting to be able to have you jump on air and have you be a part of this station and become a part of this show because, you know, we feel like NHL is headed this way. I mean, when you put your ear to the ground and when you start putting your finger up in the air, licking it and putting the air, like, give us the temperature, man. Give us the direction of NHL coming to Salt Lake City.
Boy, I'll tell you what, when it first started coming up, I just thought it was too good to be true. And the more I research it and the more I find out about Ryan Smith and his vision, and, you know, then you see the legislation pass and give him $1 billion to keep the Jazz downtown and then to, you know, expand the Delta Center. And then I don't know if you guys saw, he did the renderings of what downtown Salt Lake's going to look like when he's done building this. It just seems like it's inevitable at this point. Now I just wonder, is it going to be expansion or is it going to be relocation? I think the NHL is coming. And again, I might be biased, but I think it's coming.
So I was talking to somebody within the organization about what their preference would be on that if they indeed did get NHL. And they said that they would prefer... And he wasn't speaking on behalf of Ryan. It was just his personal opinion that he would prefer an expansion team because then you can just kind of build it from scratch and how you'd like it instead of maybe getting a team like Arizona where you inherit that roster and you have to work around what they've got and everything that comes along with it. Would you have a preference if you were bringing a team here to Salt Lake?
Well, for me, I just want it done. So I would love if it was the Coyotes and they were here next year. I think when you look at the depth of the Coyotes, they keep trading off some of their better players, and they do that as a salary cap move or to save money. It's almost like they're, you know, we always talk about teams rebuilding, and it seems like they're in a continual rebuild just to save money. I think the parts are really there to be an easy tweak. Another team that keeps coming up is the Winnipeg Jets. I think the Jets would be phenomenal. But, you know, I kind of see it too. They got to expand the Delta Center first. They got to make it so you have good sight lines. Right now they can hold, you know, 14,500 and make it amazing hockey. But there's, you know, limited sight lines there if you expand the Delta Center. So you don't want the team to come in right now. It's like inviting your mother-in-law to move in knowing that you're going to build a mother-in-law apartment. And she just moves in right now before you have the apartment done. It'd be cool either way for me, but I just want it. Like, I'm ready right now.
Jay, Scotty and I have talked a lot about this, the NBA and its vision and some of its political affiliation and some of its direction and angle as compared to the NHL and what they are as an entity and kind of, you know, their overall message and design. How different are the two? And in your opinion, how much do these fan bases, NBA and NHL, cross over? How much crossover would there be in this market with the fan bases?
You know, I think for the high earners, I think there'd be some crossover because they just want the entertainment, right? So they'll go to both. There's a deep-rooted hockey fan base here that goes back to the Salt Lake Golden Eagles. And I think if you brought the NHL here, you'd see a lot of those people come out of the woodwork that want that high level of hockey. As far as what the NBA was, I got to admit, it's for, you know, when I walk in the building, people know there's hockey going on. I don't know much about basketball. But I just think it's you're going to have those same type of people that are just looking for a good time. There is no better sport to watch live than hockey. I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity to go to an NHL game. But, man, it's fast and it's violent and it's also beautiful. And it's got all the elements of sports that you want. And it's amazing up close. And it's just a great night of entertainment for somebody that, you know, has the resources to go out all the time.
Let's just say, for the sake of argument, NHL comes to Salt Lake next year. And whether it's expansion or whatever, I think the Golden Knights really set a really high bar in terms of being successful right away. Was that an anomaly, or can you really get a team going that quickly in the current state of the NHL and be competitive right out of the gate?
I think if you do it right, the Golden Knights proved that you can do it right away. I don't think that was a fluke. And I think with the Seattle Kraken, it was kind of mapped out the same way. And then they made choices for kind of just going longevity instead of going right now. The Golden Knights, not only did they build a strong team right off the bat, but they were telling guys like, hey, we know you don't want us to take this player in the expansion draft, so we'll take somebody else if you give us him and a first-round pick next year or in 3 years. So I think there's a map to do both. If you follow what Seattle did, and what Seattle has also done is they built this just – the swell of excitement for their team too. So, you know, the team's successful on the ice. They didn't go to the Stanley Cup final their first year, like the Knights, but they're still successful and they built a real solid fan base, and the Knights just did everything right. And I think you just kind of carbon copy that, maybe bring in some of the same people that helped build the Knights because they're available now. And I think it could definitely be done again.
So, Jay, I want to talk a little bit about the athletes that would be coming into Salt Lake City and being a part of these NHL rosters, because Scotty and I were talking about the European flair that's moving into the NBA, and there's about 135 non-American-born players in the NBA now out of about 450. And I was actually going through the NHL rosters and looking a little bit at the European flair. So, Scotty, over 40% of all NHL players come from Canada. The United States is number two in NHL player born and raised. And I think Sweden is number three. You could correct me if I'm wrong on that, Jay, with like 91 or 96 players out of Sweden. I think United States has 290 or so, and Canada has 365 or so. What is kind of the international flair, the global take on where the NHL is, where it's headed, and what types of players do you get in your community when you house the NHL?
Well, the really good thing about the NHL is you get quality people coming in. The athletes, especially the Americans and Canadians, and this isn't a diss on the Europeans, but the Americans and the Canadians grow at 14 years old, have to move away from their home and go live with a billet family. And in doing that, you kind of have to reset yourself as a person. And you grow up kind of with more of a respect for, and you really cherish the opportunity that you're getting to play, whether it's junior A at age of 15 to 20, and all of a sudden you're somebody's new big brother, and you know you have to take on that role and that responsibility of being a new family member, and then that kind of translates into how you are as a person and as an athlete. You just kind of blend into the community better, and that's what you're going to get with those. And most of the Europeans that I've played with and had the experience of being around were just that way anyway. They're just thankful to be playing. They get that they're lucky to be there, and they get that the fan base is the reason they're there, and they respect it, and they take time to, you know, sign autographs and go out to extra practices with the local youth groups. They really integrate more with the fan base. It's kind of the way – Donovan Mitchell was doing it when he got here with the Jazz. Remember, he was just like...
Oh, yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, just outstanding, and it was rare for the NBA, and I think that's more of a commonplace for the NHL. That's the way I've seen it, and the Europeans are the same way. They're just... Everybody's grateful to be playing the game, and they get that, yeah, I'm going to do this interview with every news crew that comes through because that's part of the game, and I'm lucky to be there instead of being entitled about it.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Jay Stevens hosts the Utah Puck Report on KSLSports.com. Player knows the game better than all of us and is here to kind of coach us up a little bit. If the NHL indeed comes here to Salt Lake City and we get to watch hockey at the highest level, is there enough talent in the league to handle a couple expansion teams, or do you worry that it'll water down the quality of the league a little bit?
You know, it's funny. This is one of the things that's come up on my show quite a bit, and I kind of was down the middle at first because I'm like, yeah, it's 300 more jobs for every team that you bring in, and it's at least 90 players that are going to have a position that didn't have a position before when you look at the NHL, AHL, and East Coast League roster that they're going to have to fill out. And at first I thought, yeah, you're going to water that down. But the truth of the matter is you put a team, like let's take the Phoenix Coyotes, for example. You put a team in Phoenix and it expands. You start getting grassroots marketing done there and you find a whole new group of athletes that wouldn't be playing hockey otherwise. Same thing that happened when Wayne Gretzky went to L.A. You get all these players. And if you look at the top scorers in the NHL right now, one of them's from Phoenix, Arizona, and he's playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, I think you find more players, you create more athletes, and so you don't have a watered down. You just get more players. Plus, the way the teams are doing it now, they really get out and they make hockey available for everybody. And they build, like, well, compared to the Junior Jazz, they build these programs where the kids that normally couldn't afford to play hockey get to come in and play for low price, and it provides the equipment. And then next thing you know, you've got another Austin Matthews that you wouldn't have had before. So I don't think it waters it down. I think you find more players this way.
All right, Jay. So every time we have you on, I'm going to ask you just a foundational question of hockey. Not so much the NHL, but just of hockey, so I can better learn the game. I played football, and I played it in the NFL. I played it at the highest level. So I understand football, and I don't really understand hockey. I do enjoy watching it, especially in the postseason. I think their playoffs are incredible. But when you look at the ice as a whole, what is the most important position on a hockey team?
No, so you're asking – I'm 100% biased. Because there's even quotes about it. It has to be the goaltender. And granted, I'm a goalie, but I can't remember the coach's name right now, but it was – the saying was something like, hey, goaltending's, 30% of your team. Unless you don't have it, then it's 100% of the problem. So I think you got to build from the net out, and you got to get a really solid goaltender. Look at most of the teams that go deep in the playoffs. And it's a hot goaltender. Vasilevsky the last few years for Tampa Bay, Shesterkin for the Rangers, and before that, Jonathan Quick with the LA Kings. I mean, these are the guys, they won the Cups. They just were unreal. And you got to have a good goaltender to go deep.
So typically when you see an NHL champion, they've got one of the top, five goaltenders in the league?
Yeah. Absolutely. Or they got the guy that just got hot right then that maybe you didn't know. And that's what happened with the LA Kings. Nobody knew Jonathan Quick was as good as he was. They barely qualified for the playoffs that year that they won the cup the first time.
Wow.
Okay. And then go ahead.
Hey, the last thing I wanted from you, Jay, is Scotty and I are keeping a notebook of things not to say about hockey or words or verbiage or something about hockey that bugs hockey fans. So what words or what things should Scotty and I steer clear of?
Because soccer fans get super angry when you screw up their sport. Yeah. So I don't know if NHL fans are a little bit forgiving.
For instance, he was saying goalkeeper or goalie. Yeah. Like if you don't call it a tender or you don't call it the right thing in soccer, then people are like, you don't even know what you're talking about. And so we just want to be really sensitive to the hockey community.
Oh, that's really nice, and we appreciate it. And hockey players aren't that sensitive, but they notoriously, one of the biggest things is to not say the word shutout to a goaltender or just even at all for your home team. while your goalie's getting a shutout. You don't say that. That's just bad juju. And you know, for me, a long time ago, I had a coach that told me just to get rid of all my superstitions, that it takes too much control away from you. But there's that. I mean, there's the shutout thing, and then there's also, you know, we have three periods. We don't have quarters or halves. We have three periods, and that's something that people don't grasp.
Okay.
All right.
And that's a good one. We'll keep going. I'll keep building your vocabulary. I'll get you all the hockey slang as we go.
Do that, Jay. Every time you come on,
we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this.
Okay. We'll do it together. I'm excited to teach.
I appreciate it. Jay, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Jay Stevens hosts the Utah Puck Report on KSLSports.com. Josh is with us from IWC Roofing. We want you to call him right now, and it's time to get that roof replaced. There's a lot of people out there that are thinking, okay, well, this could be really invasive. I mean, you tear off a roof, you put a new one up. I'm looking at a couple of weeks with tarp all over my house and stuff like that. IWC, man, more often than not, you're out of there in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. We're here to make sure that it's not a fun situation, right? But as good as humanly possible. So we run larger crews than just about any other roofing company in the state. So start to finish, full tear off, dumpster disposal, new roof, cleanup. We're there and out of your hair typically in a day. And then we even send someone out in the next couple of days. We'll pressure wash your driveway. Our goal is to leave you better looking and cleaner yard and everything than what you ever had to begin with. So it's pretty cool.
801-232-5690. That's 232-5690. And you're going to be able to get a hold of IWC. $2,000 off, which is
huge,
bonkers.
It's huge, right? And everybody has these ads, right, that are like, hey, call now for this or this or this. But they're astronomically priced companies,
yes,
to begin with.
Yeah.
So the $2,000 doesn't really do anything, or the big discount doesn't do anything. With us, we're one of the most competitively priced companies out there before we do this.
Yeah.
So by the time we do this, it really is going to put us less expensive than just about anybody out there. But what you're getting for the money is so much better. It's a lot better bang for the buck. It's a better value, a more reputable company, better warranty, the whole nine yards.
Well, you've been around since 1997, which means you're going to be around for a long time to come, which means you have the best warranty in the business, all backed by Owens Corning. So it's not a fly-by-night organization where if there's something happening, like, oh, yeah, we got a warranty, and then you can never track anybody down.
Exactly,
like,
right.
You guys have been around for a long time, and you plan on being around for a long time. So
yeah,
that warranty is as good as gold.
It's huge. In fact, I was just having another conversation with another radio personality here, just out in the lobby a minute ago, and he made the mistake of hiring the Chuck in his truck, the fly-by-night company, not too long ago.
To put the roof on?
Unfortunately, but we're going out. Like, we'll take care of him still. Like, just like with all of the consumers and listeners that are listening right now, we'll come out. We'll help fix everybody else's problems as well, too, and make sure that you guys are taken care of. To us, it's about building good, high-quality, relationships, and that's what's important to us. But with the $2,000 off, it's crucial. We don't have to schedule it today. Like, we don't have to be out to your house today. We don't have to do the install today, obviously, but we have to call today. Our schedules are filling up. It's crazy. And so we want to take advantage of as many opportunities as we can, but prices in the industry are going up in general. So if we're on the fence or wondering if it's about time, like, now is the time. We have to figure out a way to get it done before we end up having to pay more, even if we wait till June or July,
yeah,
right? Like, it's just going to go up. And it's a big project. So if we need to, we're happy to offer any financing. We can get people into a roof as cheap as a dinner at Chili's a lot of times, right? Take your family out to Chili's is $100 now, and we can get you into a new roof for about $100 a month.
801-232-5690. That's 801-232-5690. IWC Roofing. You can also check them out online at iwcroofingutah.com. But let's go. 801-232-5690. Diana Sabo, Athletic Director at Utah State, joins us next.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He is a legendary member of the Utah Jazz, not to mention a national freaking champion at NC State. He's their old Big T Bailey.
Is it every few years teams that capture that same magic you guys had in the tournament? Like, is that a good strategy for winning the NCAA tournament? And can you see teams doing that year in and year out?
Well, I think it's actually more likely to happen nowadays. I think the playing field may be more realistic because of transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff. I just think that the way that it happened for us was kind of unadulterated basketball. So I think nowadays, most often than not, the best teams win. The strongest teams win. So I look at NC State and what they're doing now, and it's just so reminiscent of what we did. But to get all the way there, it's so difficult. The odds are obviously not in your favor. The stars have to align. Teams have to lose. You just have to hit your stride at the right time.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Diana Sabo expected to join us coming up here in just a moment as we count you down to hopefully Utah State hiring a new coach here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm excited to catch up with her, and should be momentarily. Is that what we're expecting?
Should be any moment.
As we're waiting for her to call in and jump on. So, you know, I'm not a fan of the big champagne celebration. I think it's the dumbest thing in the whole world. Wasting tons and hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars of champagne. You have to wear goggles because if the champagne gets in your eyes, it burns your eyes out. It's just the stupidest celebration. Always has been, in my opinion. But I think that the Illini figured this out. Did you see their water gun fight?
No.
Oh, this is great, man. So Brad Underwood, he's the head coach for the Illini.
Yeah.
And he had his equipment staff put packed full water guns in everybody's locker in the case of a victory. And so they all come in from the big win. And the coaching staff comes out with these massive super soakers without shirts on in their jeans. And they just start this gigantic water gun fight. And it was one of my favorite celebrations I've actually seen. Because water's not going to burn your eyes. Now, you got to buy the water guns, but you buy those once. You're going to have them that you can have in there. And it was just fun, man. They're all jumping around and shooting water guns. And the coaches are out there with these massive bazooka super soakers just blowing up everybody. And now that's a celebration. That's fun.
That I can get behind.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this champagne is always the dumbest thing. It's like, plus it's got to stink. It's got to ruin the carpet.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Plus, you can't have college kids throwing around champagne, even though most of them are probably of age, but probably not a great look.
Yeah, I guess that's not the best look for them.
I remember Joe Burrow taking all that heat when LSU won the title, and he had a cigar from Karl Malone.
Oh, that Karl Malone supplied them all. Didn't they get in trouble for that?
I think
something?
A little bit, yeah.
And nowadays, it would be like, and that was only a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, oh, did you pay for those? Did Karl Malone gift those to you? And who was it that was walking around on the field and put some money in Burrow's hands? And remember, he got busted.
Odell Beckham,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And nowadays, nobody would say a thing. You get an NFL guy that played at LSU or played at Alabama or whoever's winning the championship, and he walks by and puts a folded up couple thousand dollars of $100 bills in his hands, nobody's going to say a word now. Just a matter of a few years ago, Burrow is getting run down for taking a free cigar and maybe a couple hundred dollars from Odell Beckham.
What a weird world we're living in right now.
It is.
And it changed just like that.
It is unrecognizable.
Yeah.
And just watching the recruiting world as close as I'm watching it right now, watching the recruiting world and how much effect it's had on the recruiting, high school kids are suffering. I mean, there's still some out there that are, you know, if you're big enough and you're fast enough, you're getting those opportunities. But you remember, recruiting used to be about finding the projects.
Yeah.
And taking a shot on them. Those projects are headed out to JUCOs, at the best FCS. But those projects aren't getting their group of five or their power five offers anymore.
And the hope is certainly that if you're a kid like that, you're like, okay, well, eventually we'll get them, you know, or you know, you'll sign with a lower level and then make the jump up to the next level because you can, but that's not always the case.
That's not always the case.
No. Nope.
But it's just high school recruiting has just changed so much. And, you know, the other thing is just watching the way the universities here in this state have adjusted to it and how they've adjusted to it, what they're doing in the portal, and then how much time and attention they're putting into high school players and the development and recruitment and signing of high school players as compared to the transfer portal. I actually think that universities that are sitting in the, you know, whatever it's changing, the P4 or whatever this new group that's emerging, I think that universities that are living and dying by the transfer portal, I think they're doing it wrong. I think you're dying on the vine.
Yeah, I do too.
I think when you're having to rely on transfer portal players to come in and fill in as a quarterback because, man, we're in a panic and we need a quarterback. Let's go get that portal player. You're dying on the vine, man. If you can't identify high school talent and build it into starting talent, then maybe you need to go find something else to do. Maybe you got to go find something else to do. Find the high school talent, develop those quarterbacks so you've got them in your system. And then people are like, yeah, but then those quarterbacks play backup and then they transfer. Keep them happy.
Yeah.
Find a way to keep them happy and build a name as a quarterback whisperer, as a builder, somebody that quarterbacks want to be around, and stop having to dip into portal.
Well, and it gets you stuck in an endless cycle where you're forced to.
It's a vicious cycle. And it's absolutely. Yeah,
because if you're missing on your high school kids and you're not developing them, then you have to go the rented gun for hire. And then all of a sudden you can't get out of that cycle where every year you've got to go to the portal to get a quarterback. And then, you know, sometimes you'll hit, but more often than not, you're going to miss.
I hate the rented gun, Scotty.
I do too, especially at that position. The transfer portal needs to be something set up where you supplement your roster, not where you have key components of your roster.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching Utah in a very interesting situation right now with Isaac Wilson. It's a really interesting situation because this is what I think is a high profile, big time program. This is what you got to do. You got to find the bigger quarterbacks in your area. You've got to sign them, develop them, and have success with them. And right now, Isaac Wilson is fighting with Rose to be the number two quarterback behind Cam Rising, who knows what happens with Cam. Fingers crossed, hope he's great. We don't know.
Yeah.
But Utah needs to have success with Isaac Wilson. Isaac Wilson needs to grow and develop under Andy Ludwig. Isaac Wilson needs to show that, oh, yeah, you can stay in the state of Utah. You can sign at University of Utah, or you can sign at BYU, or you can sign at Utah State. You can grow and you can develop and you can become something great as a quarterback right here in Utah. Because we do have quarterback talent here.
Yep. Yep.
And so I really want to see it. You know, I'm a little bit biased maybe with the Lagah kid, but I still want to see Lagah do well. But Utah State has got a couple of local high school signed products that they're developing in McKay
Hillstead
and
Cooper Lagah. I mean, you could even throw, I know he's technically a transfer, but you could throw Barnes in the mix.
Bryson Barnes.
He's a Utah kid. And then you go out and you supplemented your room with Beatrice from Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay, if these guys, if Lagah can't do it or if Hillstead can't do it, well, we've got a backup plan. See, I think that that's how I'd handle that business. I'm looking for guys that I want to develop them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what Gary Bohannon is about. Yeah, I've seen him on film, and yeah, he went and won a Big 12 title, but how much of it was him? He dealt an entire year out of college football last year because of an injury. How much can I rely on his athleticism or his durability? How much can I rely on that? You know, going out and getting Retzlaff when Retzlaff's already put a couple of years into college football, and oh man, he had some big time. He was a JUCO kid, right?
Yeah.
Some big time JUCO numbers. Really was big time.
Oh, crazy JUCO numbers. Yeah. Like
insane JUCO numbers. But how does that really translate? Go get a high school quarterback, win a recruiting battle on a big time name, develop him, keep him around, keep him happy. Well, I'll transfer. All right. Well, what do you need? Well, I need $100,000 and I need the promise that I'll be able to compete. It's like, oh man, I hate this, but okay, we got to keep him happy and keep him around and start to do that. You know, and that's why I'm watching Isaac Wilson right now with a very intense microscope. Like, how does Utah do this with Isaac Wilson? Because he is high profile. Brother is a big time NFL kid. Brother had big time years at BYU. but he's playing behind a legacy name in Cam Rising. That guy's name will probably be etched up on the walls at Rice-Eccles Stadium at some point. But how do they handle him? How is he when he jumps on the field? Utah needs him to be good.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I remember
because let's be honest. Like Cam Rising has revitalized the quarterback position at the University of Utah, but the knock on Utah is that they haven't been able to develop quarterbacks.
Well, remember they tried to be innovators in the transfer portal, and they kept recruiting over Cam Rising with all these dudes that had 10,000 yards, and oh man, we got this guy, and Cam just kept beating them out systematically. And what we're finding with these quarterbacks that jump in the portal, that's like, oh man, got 10,000 yards. It's like universities are like, nah, we're ready to move on.
Yeah.
I think we've maxed this kid out. You know, I still feel like I don't want to get into specific names, but I tend to feel like if a university wins something big with a quarterback and they want him, they'll keep him.
Yeah. Yep.
And now these guys are jumping into the portal, and you're like, wait a second, you won a championship. Why are you in the portal? What's your deal?
That doesn't seem right.
Why would the university let you in the portal? Was there not? And I'm talking about, you know, some type of lateral move.
Yeah.
I'm still putting red flags on portal players.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially the quarterback position.
Especially the quarterback position. So what I think is ideal is recruiting local big-time high school talent, and if you don't got one here in Utah, then get yourself to Idaho or Nevada, and if you got to leak into California, go check California. Grab the biggest name you could possibly get him some NIL, and develop the kid so that you're recognized as, oh my gosh, these guys bring in and develop big-time quarterbacks.
Yep.
And you will miss. Utah missed on was it Jack Tuttle?
Yeah, yep.
Was that the kid's name?
Yep. They took over Zach Wilson.
Huh?
They took over Zach Wilson.
They took him over Zach Wilson. He's been to how many universities, has not found his footing? You missed.
Yeah.
You missed on the talent.
And that's going to happen.
And that will happen, but you got to hit.
Yeah.
But I am not a transfer portal quarterback talent guy. That's why I really want to see Laga or Hillstead earn the start and go out and dominate it, because then it's like, yeah, you can do that here in the state of Utah.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone. Diana Sabo was expected to join us at 1:30. We're efforting getting her on the line. Hopefully that happens any moment now. I know a lot of Utah State fans are dialed in wanting to hear from their athletic director. Hopefully we'll get her here on the line here in the very near future. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present...
This is JJ and Alex.
Gary is a more experienced player at this level and has won more games at this level and played at Baylor and had success on that team at this level. There's potential for more wins with Gary quarterback. That doesn't mean he's going to win the job. But I do think he has the potential for more wins. But how is the shoulder? How long can he stay healthy? And can Jake do enough of the dynamic things that he does to convince A-Rod that even though Gary might win 8 games opposed to Jake winning 6, that they're better off long-term with going with Jake? They're going to have to weigh all that out. I believe that Gary gets you 1 or 2 more wins this year if he's the starting quarterback than he would if you had Jake.
Catch JJ and Alex afternoons from 3 to 6. Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's time to span the globe for the hard-hitting news you care about. Well, not really. But hey, at least we found it interesting. This is Whole World News on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Time for another edition of Whole World News. Again, I know a lot of people waiting on Diana Sabo. When we track her down, we'll get her on the air.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as she's ready to go, we'll go. Yep. We'll break into whatever we currently are doing.
Correct.
Including Whole World News, which is a ridiculous story. I can't even believe things like this happen, Scotty. So this woman's name is Annalene Reynolds. She, in 2018, she was in Hawaii, Puna, Hawaii, and decided that she was going to buy this lot. It's a housing lot. I think it was just under 2 acres, and it's in Puna, Hawaii. And so she buys it, pays cash for it, and is living in California. And the whole time she was thinking about this women's retreat. It was a women's mental health facility that she was going to put on it, or she just didn't know exactly what she was going to do with it. Well, just days ago, she got a call from a realtor, and this is her quote. She said, "The realtor told me, well, I just sold the house, and it happens to be on your property, so we need to resolve this." And Reynolds was like, "What? What house? Are you kidding me? Scotty, a housing developer built a house on her lot without her being notified." But
wow.
he got all the city approvals. They went through all the proper channeling to get the rights to build on this lot, and at no point was she notified. So now there's over a $500,000 home that's been built on her property, and this person that's building the home is like, "Hey, we need to talk to you about this property. We kind of need the rights over to it. So do you want to buy this house, or do you want us to buy your property, or what do you..."
Wow.
How do you want this to go? It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. Just the house is valued at just over $500,000 that they plopped down on her land. And, you know, I do the real estate thing. I'm in different real estate investments and bought just raw land, and I've bought houses. And I can't believe something like this would happen. But I can tell you what I do. The first thing I would do is I'd sue the pants off the city.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For crying out loud, that's why you've got all of these tedious hoops that you've got to jump through.
Bureaucratic red tape non-mumbo-jumbo.
Oh, Scotty, it's expensive. It's time-consuming. You know, of the year, well, the 10 years that it took us to build our house, 4 months of that was just trying to get all the stupid approvals and paying impact fees and all the garbage that our cities set up to try to steal money from you as a developer. Because there is a lot of overpayment that they take from you.
Yeah.
And these idiots in Puna, Hawaii don't even have the sense to contact the landowner to say, "Oh, by the way, they're currently digging a foundation." They bulldozed the lot. They actually bulldozed the lot and built the house. And the whole thing comes to her attention when the realtor calls her and says, "Hey, so I guess this house is on your land, so we need to figure this out." What house? Well, we're selling a house. We've been commissioned to sell a house, and apparently it's on your land. Man, I would lose my mind.
I would absolutely lose my mind.
I would lose my mind. I can't even believe something
but
this
also
stupid
take full
would happen.
But also take full control of the house.
Well, I would sue the city. I'd sue the pants off the city. I would sue the builder. I'm not a litigious person, but when it comes to this kind of stupidity.
This is why you have lawyers. This is why you do stuff like this.
Yes. And I'm not going to ask him to bulldoze the home. I promise you this, though, Scotty. When the dust settles, I'm going to own that home.
Oh, yeah. That's a free house.
I'm going to own that home, and I'm not giving you a penny for it. If you need to take back your materials, then by all means, go take back the materials. But I want that land restored just the way it was.
Yeah.
Plopping a house down on a lot that I owned. Are you out of your mind? Not even contacting me? I have heard that things like this happen often in Hawaii. I've heard that there are a lot of political issues in Hawaii. When I was there, whatever it was, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I went on this, it was a bus tour that took us over to Pearl Harbor. And the guy that was operating the bus, as we passed the prison, he said, "Anybody want to take a guess at how many of our political leaders are currently housed right there in that building?" And we're all like, "No." And it was something like 90 some odd former political leaders that are held up in the prison systems because they're so corrupt in Hawaii, so badly corrupt. And then you look at something like this, and you're like, how do you guys not see
But here's
like
the thing.
This?
How do you think this is going to end? Do you think you're just going to get free land out of this?
Exactly. Exactly. How are you really going to dig a foundation and you're just going to pop up a home here, huh? I've got some raw acreage out there. If I showed up at the raw acreage and there was a house on it, I'd just get really excited because I'd be like, huh, I just inherited a house.
Yeah. Yep.
Some way, somehow, I'm going to own this or it's going to be removed.
That would happen for you. That's how lucky you are. That's how things would just pop. Somebody would put a house
Here's the thing. Somebody would be doing it and then be like, well, Hans, we intended to give it to you the whole time.
Yes. Like, you've had a rough go in life.
This is a gift for you.
You need a house.
Yeah. Hey, look, if IWC didn't put the roof on that house, then
it's
giving it back.
It's not worth jack squat. Hey, Josh is with us from IWC. Just out of curiosity, how much of it is new construction as compared to just a swap out of an old roof? I got to imagine probably you're swapping out more often than not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. For us, anyway. Our focus is direct-to-consumer re-roofing. We do new construction for all of our previous customers and clients, but as far as catering to the massive big builders and stuff like that, that's not really our go-to. We're here to help direct-to-consumer customers that have been in their home, know they want a good high-quality roof, and want it replaced with something that's not the cheap builder-grade garbage out there.
So let's go, if somebody just keeps putting it off, and they're like, well, I just can't afford that, or I just don't want to deal with it. I'm sure I can squeeze out another year or two. Talk about some of the damage that can happen that's going to be far more expensive than just a simple roof repair or roof replacement.
Right. That's kind of the kicker. That's the hard part. You have two most important parts to your home is your roof and your foundation.
Yeah.
Without either one of those, nothing inside. Doesn't matter how cool your stuff is inside or what you've got. It doesn't matter because it's all going to crap in a quick hurry. So definitely want to do it sooner rather than later so you don't have a leak. Leaks can cause thousands and thousands and thousands of damage, more mold, the whole nine yards. So we want to get rid of it, but get it taken care of long before we have that big of a problem. Go ahead.
801-232-5690. That's 801-232-5690. Get it in your phone. And this $2,000 off special is extremely unique. Let's say I've known you, Josh, for what have we been working together? 2, maybe 3 years.
Yeah, a couple years.
And you've never brought a $2,000 off to the table. So I want people to understand the significance of that. But I also want people to understand what the process is going to be like. When they call 801-232-5690, from the phone call to the new roof.
What's our process?
What's the process and how long am I looking at?
Perfect. It depends on the situation. If you're in an emergency situation, we can get out and get you squared away right away. Typical standard time right now, you're probably 4 to 6 weeks out. But what we'll do is if you call in, we'll pick up the phone, we set up an appointment, either myself or one of our reps will come out, we'll give you a free estimate, let you know exactly where it's at. If you want to move forward, then we can get a contract put in place. We do a satisfaction guarantee. So unlike all of these other yahoos out there that want a bunch of money up front and then some upon completion, we do zero down. We don't want you to pay a dime for your roof.
That's unique.
It is.
For contract.
Really?
No one. Yeah.
That's
so zero
very
down.
Unique.
We don't want you to pay a dime for the roof until it's done and you're happy and you're squared away and you know everything got done the right way.
Yeah, that doesn't exist in this world.
No, not at all.
Well, that just shows you how much pride you have in the job that you do and how much faith you have that you'll be able to do it the right way.
Exactly. And we're motivated to make sure it gets done right the first time. So after that, we get put in queue. You can pick your colors. And then one day install, start to finish, everything's said and done. We clean up, we're out of your hair. And then at that point, we'll square up and get paid on the roof. And we accept all forms of payment, you name it, we can take it. If you need some help getting it done and getting it paid for, because it's one of those unknown things, right, that kind of happens. It's like cars on a tire, right? No one plans for it, but then when it's there, you've got to do it. We've got financing options for everybody.
So when you put out a bid, you know, obviously when you're a lot of times when like you're building a home or you're remodeling a home, that bid is kind of a floating target, like, you know, because there's a lot of things that can happen. With a roof, is it pretty straightforward or is there still some, you know, some things that can cause issues.
And that's something that a lot of people stress about. So you have, oh, by the way, companies, right? Like everybody's scared of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of these low price leaders that are out there just selling on price, that's what they'll do. They'll intentionally leave out sales tax, or they'll leave out their waste or whatever. And then by the time it's said and done, you're paying a couple thousand dollars more than what you thought and had planned for.
That's why people have trust issues.
It is. It's crazy to me that they do that. You could have two projects. Both are, let's say, $10,000, right? Someone gets a bid for seven. You nickel and dime them up to 10 by the time it's said and done. They hate you for it. Versus if you're just honest and upfront and say, hey, this is what it's going to take to get it done right, and you're going to be 10, and then you can meet and exceed those expectations at the end of the job. They love you.
They'll
right,
put
forever.
They'll hit the 5-star review and they're going to tell their neighbor.
Tell the neighbors.
So, yep. To answer that, Scotty, yes. So our quotes are locked in prices.
Wow.
So tax, labor, material, waste, warranty, everything said and done is included. The only thing that's an unknown in roofing is plywood. Sometimes as we pull it open, we'll pull a roof open. And so that's kind of the one unknown, is if we have to run into some plywood here or there. But prices are awesome. We're honest up front about it. We'll take pictures. We show you exactly what's needed so that everybody's on the same page.
Call right now, 801-232-5690. Right now, you're going to get $2,000 off your complete roofing project. But you got to call right now and just schedule that appointment to have somebody come out, take a look at your roof. 801-232-5690. That's 801-232-5690. IWC Roofing. Come on, folks. We need you to call right now and get that set up to take advantage of that $2,000 off. 801-232-5690 right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.